Hello and welcome to the Micro ISV show here on Channel 9. I'm your host, Michael Lehman, and in this show, we're going to be talking with Bob Walsh, who's the author of the definitive book on Micro ISVs, Micro ISV From Vision to Reality. We're going to talk with Bob about his book and about how a Micro ISV is different than it was back in the days when I was writing Pascal MT Plus and distributing it in a Ziploc bag containing a floppy disk and a Xerox manual on the shelf at Computerland. So, Bob, what is a micro-ISV today?
Well, the term micro-ISV started with Eric Sink, who took the Microsoft term of independent software vendor and put micro in front of it. But I look at it today and I say it's not just independent of Microsoft, it's internet software vendor or internet service vendor. Just because without the internet, the things that make micro ISVs possible today just would not work.
How so?
Well, the biggest thing today for people who want to write their own software, bring it to market, who for whatever reason don't decide to go the VC-funded route, is the long tail. The idea that when you have a large enough market with enough interest in it, there's a place there for all sorts of small niches that can be competitively and advantageously looked at from the point of view of a company that may have 1 to 5 people. I think the biggest difference now is you can connect with a market for a product that is an extremely niche-y type of product, but that it does a good job. You can literally connect with that market in a matter of a few clicks, and you can distribute it in a few more, you can get paid for it in a couple more, and you're in business.
So having sort of understood that and gone down that road yourself, what inspired you to write the book?
Well, I came out of a background of being an IT contract programmer, and I've been doing software development on a contract basis for companies in the Bay Area for about 22 years now. When I decided after the dot-com bust that working twice as hard and making half as much really wasn't looking too appealing, I decided I wanted to write my own software and just finally go after some applications that I wanted to write rather than what clients wanted to write. The first pass of that was an application, if you will, written in Microsoft Excel, and that was called Masterlist Excel. And I did it both as a way of highlighting the type of programming that I do on a contract basis and as a test to see if some of the ideas that I had would actually sort of fly. I gave that away on downloads.com and other sites. About 40,000 people at one time or another downloaded it, and I don't know how many of them actually ended up using it, but the number seems to be pretty high. That was back in 2003. When that took off, I decided to go with a commercial product, Masterlist Professional, and to make a long story short, I brought that to market almost a year ago. And when I got to market, and I'd finally written this thing, and I was ready to go, I started looking around for information about how to market on the internet when you have software and how to position yourself as a small company on the internet and all the things that, you know, I really needed to know to get off the ground. And with really the only exception being the Joel on Software Business of Software Forum, I couldn't find any good information. So I decided the next best thing to do is go research and interview and do the things necessary to write a book about. So it was really a case where if I could have bought my book before I'd come to market, I really would have liked to, but the next best thing is having written it.
All right. And so tell me about some of the interviews that you did and you know, where did you find some good information?
Well, I guess the place to start is there's something of a process involved here, going from I'm stuck in this boring meeting listening to my boss for the umpteenth time say things that make no sense. Two, being successful as a micro ISV. There's the stage of having the vision, deciding what problem you want to go out and try and solve for people who will pay you money and who use computers. There's how do you develop a piece of software when the IT department is now you rather than all the infrastructure you used to. There's the question of how do you present this product on the internet? And if that sounds like marketing, well, that's what we're talking about here. And we're also talking about what are the ways that build a good website to support and market and position your product on the internet, and how do you get paid for that product, by the way, which is kind of an important part when you're become a small business person.
Indeed, indeed. You know, if you build it, they will come is a great strategy as long as somebody comes and
well,
brings their money with them.
That's the trick. I mean, one of the places to address that is what problem do you go out and solve? There are some problems out there that the world doesn't need solved again. I don't think anyone in their right mind today would write a spreadsheet or a word processor, or for that matter, an RSS reader. But there are so many different needs out there when you start talking about the 1 billion person internet, which is where we got to late last year. So in the first few chapters of the book, and there's 7 chapters, in 1 through 3 I cover what we've just discussed, but then from there, you know, there's some other things you have to cover, which is business is business, and you have to, whether you're in the United States or the UK or Australia or pretty much anywhere, you have to form some sort of actual business entity just like all those other small businesses. So that's a section where we look at the different trade-offs between, let's say, a sole proprietorship and an LLC and a subchapter S corp and other ways of just getting the business done. As I was working through this book, because before I got into being a programmer long time ago, I was a full-time reporter for United Press International, and I still sort of have reporter DNA, if you will. So my approach was to go out and start finding people to interview who were kind enough to share their time and their suggestions to find out what are the sort of things that you need to know that work. So for instance, in the business of is business chapter, besides the mechanics of, you know, how do you get yourself a tax ID in the UK, I have a good interview in there from David Allen, who is known best for his getting things done methodology.
Right.
Which is real popular at places like Microsoft and other places in IT land, where he talks about some of the things that are of concern for micro ISVs. When I did in Chapter 3 covering how do you present the product, well, blogs are a big part of that now. And I was able to interview a very successful micro ISV, mainly Mina Trott, who is half of the Mina and Ben team that founded Six Apart. They're the people who make Movable Type and TypePad.
Right.
And talking about, you know, how can a blog really make a micro ISV take off? And what was it like being a micro ISV a few years back before fame and fortune found their way to them? After I get through those things, the last three chapters of the book are focusing on the customer. And here's one thing that, you know, I know as an IT person, technical support is not the sort of thing you wake up in the morning looking forward to doing. But for micro ISVs, good technical support can be a real competitive advantage.
Well, I can attest to that personally myself as well. When the opportunity came for me way back in the early days of the PC to sell my company, the product was a very interesting product, but the reason the company got bought and the reason I was able to turned it into a big success was specifically because of the technical support, and it makes all the difference in the world.
Well, you see, I think one of the advantages that micro ISVs have over larger companies is we're right there, you know, basically fingertip length from our software or from our website. And because of that, we can really talk with customers and be able to say, you know, that's a great idea, and I can put that in next week if that's the right thing to do. But, you know, it's not just technical support. It's the question of how do you get found on the Internet? And that's things that are somewhat mundane but really need to be taken care of, like making sure that you can be found on the Internet through search engines, so search engine optimization. This is, you know, pretty basic stuff, but it's important. How are you going to advertise your site? Google AdWords has been very good to a lot of micro ISVs, and that type of approach has been proven to be very successful for micro ISVs. And then there's a question of, well, what about the mainstream media and the online tech media? And there I was able to get a couple of good interviews with people who do that for a living. They understand that business, and they can tell you what they are looking for if you're a micro ISV and you need to try and pitch your product to either online or the mainstream media.
All right, thanks, Bob. That's the end of the first part of our interview. In just a moment, we'll go to the second part of our interview where Bob describes things that Microsoft can do for the micro ISV. One of those things is the Microsoft Empower program, which you can find out about at partner.microsoft.com. So let's now rejoin Bob and hear what he has to say about Microsoft and micro ISVs.
Whatever you may think of Microsoft, there are lots of different parts of Microsoft that are very firmly committed to your success. And really, if you are writing for the Windows platform or for the web in anything that's Visual Studio, you should be thinking about. And when I got to Chapter 6 and I started talking about, you know, welcome to your industry, what are the people out there, I came across item after item that Microsoft does that, to be sure, is to Microsoft's advantage, but are a very good thing for micro ISVs.
In my role here at Microsoft, I am in fact the technical evangelist for the micro ISV community, and on a daily basis I find out more things that Microsoft is doing that even I didn't know about. It's one of those things where I'm actually working on something now to try to draw all that information together in a coherent format to be able to distribute to our micro ISV community. If you were looking at the community now that you've done the book and you've started up your own company with this, I mean, what kinds of things would you want to hear from Microsoft? What kind of things would you want to be included in sort of a compendium of information to try to make micro ISV successful? In other words, what advice would you want micro ISVs to get, you know, from Microsoft?
Well, let me just run through a couple of quick names here and give you my take as an outsider of Microsoft, what these guys do and what they're good for micro ISVs. First off the top of the list, Microsoft Empower Program. It's a great way to get $2,700 worth of MSDN Universal license for about $375 for the first couple of years of your business's existence. That's a good deal. Any way you cut it, that's an excellent deal. The Microsoft Buddy program is something that I think is something that just should get a lot more attention. The way that works is you get paired up with a Microsoft employee. They may be in the U.S., they may be in the U.K., maybe elsewhere, maybe you're elsewhere for that matter. And they're basically your point of contact within Microsoft. They may give you advice about where to find resources. They may give you advice about how to do things. But it's a mentoring program. And, you know, Microsoft doesn't sell that. They just make it available, and I think it's a great program. The other thing, well, not the other thing, but the other part of the focus on Microsoft is not Microsoft just in, you know, Washington State, United States. Microsoft is all over the world. And one of the interviews I did that I had fun with was the people in Microsoft NZ for New Zealand. And they're really enthusiastic out there in the field, and they're looking for ways and opportunities to work with micro-ISVs everywhere from Wellington, New Zealand to Wisconsin. They're out there, and they're a good resource, and they're worth tapping into. Microsoft Digital Locker Program. This is a fairly new program, but the bottom line is going through a couple of different distributors that are out there right now for micro ISV products. Microsoft will sell your product. They'll advertise your product. They'll guarantee that you're getting, that your customers are going to get a secure, safe transaction without spyware. That's a very cool program to be able to get backed by the largest software company out there. There's a couple others that really kind of hit the bell, if you will. There's the Office Marketplace program, where if your software has anything whatsoever to do with Office, you can get it listed there. When I look at my referrer posts, my referrer logs, and I see who's coming to my site consistently, Office Marketplace is number two or number three, and it's free to list. I'd say those are the big ones, but there's two questions that people out of Microsoft and sort of in my shoes sort of ask themselves about Microsoft. Can you guess what those two questions are?
How do I make sure that I stay out of Microsoft sites?
Okay.
In other words, how do I make sure that I'm doing something that Microsoft is not doing?
Right.
And I don't know, what's the other one?
Will Microsoft buy me for $20 million?
It certainly happened.
It certainly does happen. So one of the interviews I did was with a guy by the name of Don Dodge. He's with the Microsoft Emerging Business Team out in Boston. And he's the guy that sort of holds the checkbook for Bill Gates when it comes to emerging companies and micro ISVs and startups. He is sort of part headhunter, part hound dog, and part deal maker, because he works with a lot of VCs. And he gave me a very candid interview about why it's okay to trust Microsoft, why the Microsoft that's out there today is not perhaps the Microsoft you saw 10 or 15 or 20 years ago when it came to talking about what Microsoft is up to and the areas that Microsoft plans to work and doesn't plan to work. That's the sort of information I found interesting. He also explained, you know, well, how and when does Microsoft buy, you know, literally five-person companies, four-person companies for substantial change. So really, I went looking for answers with this book, and I was pretty happy with the ones that I got. And I have to say that overall, Microsoft is without question the most forthcoming about its plans, and I think quite honestly they're the ones that are prepared to do the most and have put the most chips on the table when it comes to micro ISVs. Now, with all due respect to the open source movement, to Apple based software, to all the other things that are out there, I think that it was an eye-opener to me to find out that there are now approximately 2,000 Microsoft employees blogging about what Microsoft's technical and marketing plans are. That is a big difference from the Microsoft that I sort of grew up with and the Microsoft that people may think is the way things are.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, Robert Scoble was one of the who's part of the group that I work in, was one of the impetuses behind that. When he first came to Microsoft, there were 80 Microsoft bloggers, and that's a talking point that comes up often inside the company, how many people we have blogging. Well, obviously, this particular interview is being podcast on Channel 9, our developer-to-developer site, in which, you know, we're now doing all these video interviews. You know, I'm producing, you know, three podcast shows for Channel 9, as well as podcast shows for other environments. It really is a different environment. In fact, when I first came to Microsoft, which was about a year and a half ago, I read this book called Microsoft Rebooted.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most interesting facts from that book was that two-thirds of the people who work here didn't work here 5 years ago.
Hmm.
Now, it doesn't mean that the company's grown by two-thirds. It means between dot-com and attrition and growth, there's a whole bunch of people who have worked all over the industry who now work at Microsoft, you know, and that's a completely different sort of intelligence DNA than it was in the past. So I would definitely concur that it is a completely different environment, you know, from both the outside and the inside here at Microsoft.
Well, and for micro ISVs, there's a reality here. And the reality is, writing the next compiler or the next spreadsheet or the next word processing program and going head-to-head against Microsoft is about as stupid as pounding nails with your forehead into a wall. At the same time, the sort of markets and niches that micro ISVs can go after incredibly successfully, that they can do, you know, very, very nice revenue numbers for a company that size, or for an individual organization, or an individual, if you will, for that size, are such, they're not going to pay for the paperclips that Microsoft uses in a week. And they're never going to be big enough to warrant the, quote, sinister attention, unquote, that Microsoft or a couple of the other large companies out there might decide to bring to it. And I have to say that there are certain fallacies that people have when they start thinking about, well, maybe I should go write my own software and be my own micro ISV. I think one of them overall is that Microsoft is just waiting to steal your software. This is just not true. It just doesn't work that way.
But it's certainly something that I would agree with now, having been on the inside of the company. I will admit to in years past, you know, having been the director of research and development at Digital Research, the people that made CPM, there were times in the past when it certainly seemed as if Microsoft was had a different attitude than it does now, but I couldn't agree with you more. All right, Bob, that's really an amazing vision of the micro ISV industry that you've learned from writing this book. You have any closing comments of the book before we go on to part two and talk about Safari software and the actual nuts and bolts of yourself as a micro ISV?
Well, I guess I would just conclude with what the seventh and last chapter of the book is about, which is what happens next. And again, one of the things about writing software and bringing a product to market, it's sort of a solitary exercise. You might as well be living sometimes in a monastery doing it. So what I did is I went out and interviewed 25 different micro ISVs. Some of these are just getting to market, some of them are doing very well, and some of them are doing like gangbusters. They are either no longer by any means a micro ISV, or they're making more money than most companies you could name are making. And what I got from those interviews was that there's a lot of people out there who want to see you succeed. It's a very friendly community. There are resources out there. And, you know, the water is fine. Come on in.
All right. And that concludes part one of our interview with Bob Walsh, author of Micro ISV From Vision to Reality and proprietor of Safari Software. Shortly on Channel 9, we'll have the second part of this interview where we talk to Bob about Safari Software. But for now, I'm your host, Michael Lehman, and this is the Micro ISV Show, and I look forward to seeing you at the next episode. So check it out on channel9.msdn.com.